Now, you remember the 10 guys. Jesus is about to go to Jerusalem and die. And so he tells this little parable that's really interesting. He says, there were 10 guys. They were my servants, followed me. And I gave them each a mina. That's an amount of money. I gave them each a mina. And I said, trade with these until I come back, and then I'll collect. So everybody got a mina. How many know what that's called? Equality. Everybody got the same amount. How many know that you were given something by God, and whatever you do with that something is up to you? It's not up to God. It's up to you. And you can waste it, or you can invest it, or you can do whatever you want. Like some of you have life. Some of you are alive. Okay? So that's one thing you got, is your life. Another thing is talent. You might have a talent. Everybody has talent. Everybody has a certain amount of money. Everybody has time. So everybody has all of these things, but you know what? It's not equal. It's not equal. Have you ever noticed that about God? He's not given out equal because some people do more and some people do less. But even in the beginning, you don't have all the same. So God's not into equality. You know, like some people make too much, give it to those that don't make enough. You don't think that's funny? I do. I think that's funny because it'll never work. I remember Mao Zedong. He was one of those guys that thought, hey, I'm going to help the Chinese people. I'm going to help the whole world. I'll give everybody one shirt. It's the same color. In fact, it's just one size fits all. That's how government does stuff. And so they gave everybody a green shirt. I remember everybody in China got a green shirt, one green shirt. And everybody got a little red book, Mao's sayings. So it's kind of like the Bible. So everybody got a Bible, everybody got a shirt. And his idea was this. If I give everybody one shirt, then nobody will need two. Everybody will be equal. There'll be no more crime. What's the point? Because everybody's equal. I mean, you know how stupid that is. That is stupid. Because in a little while, Mao learned something. One guy had two shirts and one guy was naked. That's what he learned. How did that happen? How did that happen? They both had the same little red book. But pretty soon, one guy was a capitalist pig. He was a capitalist pig. And he bet this guy such and such, whatever. You know, pretty soon he had two shirts and the other guy was naked. You cannot make people same. Can't make people same. Some people are lazy. Some people are industrious. Some people are good. Some people are evil. Some people are this. Some people are that. So you can make everybody good, but within minutes, they'll all be different. Within minutes, somebody will have cheated somebody else. Someone will have raped somebody else. There's no way you can stay equal. That's a dumb idea. So the French Revolution, remember that was the same time as our revolution. Ours is just a little bit ahead of it. We just had one word, liberté. Give people liberty. You know, let people be free to goof up or not, right? And then what will happen? It'll be all over the map. So America was built on the idea that if you make everybody equal, if you make everybody equal, you won't have any life. You might as well all be in prison. Because you can't make everybody equal and keep them equal. Even in prison, no matter how it looks, they all look like they got the same orange suit. Or, you know, I was in federal prison a couple of weeks ago, and they all had white, you know, same white suit. They used to be black and white, so you could tell them. But now, you know, but that doesn't make any difference. Pretty soon, one guy is bossing over the other guys. This is the way it works. I mean, in any gang, any group, any bunch of people, pretty soon somebody's going to have more than the other. That's just the way life is. It stinks. Too bad. Well, you say, well, okay, let's rely on the church to equalize things. How many know that the church could kind of equalize things? Because maybe I have something, a talent, but I share it with others. And that's a nice idea, but that doesn't always work out either. Nothing works out. Well, anyway, Jesus tells this story about a rich guy, a noble. So there was this guy, he was about to receive the kingdom. And remember, this is Jesus telling this story about somebody. And he's about to go to Jerusalem. And some people are thinking, Jesus is going to go and be king. The guy's going to set up his kingdom. That's why he's telling this story. And all the people thought that Jesus is about to go to Jerusalem, he's going to take over, and the Jews are going to conquer the rest of the Romans and all the bad people of the world. How many know that that's change? Everybody will be equal. It'll be wonderful. The nice guys will be in charge, and everybody will be happy. How many know that's an illusion? That is a total illusion. Not going to happen. It never happens. Anyway, so that's a stupid idea, but everybody thought that. Jesus, you're going to Jerusalem now? You're going to be the king. You're the Messiah. You're God's Messiah. Ha! You're God's special guy. It's the guy that's been promised from the foundation of the world to rule and reign. So that's why Jesus told this little story. To try to, before it happened, let them know, ain't going to happen that way. There's never going to be equality. Liberty, yes, but liberty means, here's liberty. Let's say you could do anything you wanted. That would be liberty. Anything you wanted except one thing. One thing. Don't eat of this tree right here. There's one thing. Okay, you can eat of all the trees. Everything is all yours. You're free. Except one thing. Don't eat of my tree. That was basically what God's saying. This is the tree I eat out of. And God can eat out of this tree, and you're not supposed to eat any of the fruit of this tree. Well, what is this tree? Well, he calls it what? The tree of knowledge. So if you want to get knowledge, you don't got it in yourself. You got to get wisdom from God. You got to get knowledge from God. Hey, God, what do I do here? What do I do there? And so God says, this tree, that's a tree I eat out of, and you all can come to me, and I'll give you knowledge. I'll give you some knowledge. But this is the tree I eat out of. I know what's good and what's bad. That's like a parent. That's like a parent. I'll tell you what's right and wrong. Take that shirt off. I'll give you a whipping. And so the little kid is, I want to wear this shirt. You take that off right now. No. Whack. Okay. So that's how you learn wisdom. How many know that without a rod, you're not going to learn wisdom? So I was like, I think I know. How many of you know what's best for yourself? I mean, you're smarter than the average person. How many are smarter than the average person? You know you are. You know you are. Other people are dumb. How many have learned that? I mean, compared to you, you're not the average stupid person. You are a smarter stupid person. But here's God's view. God's view is don't eat of this tree. Do not eat of this tree. This tree right here, this is the tree that I eat out of. And if you want to know what's right and wrong, you ask me. How many would rather just take matters in your own hands? Hey, wait a minute, I know what's right. Hey, what you did was wrong. And so you'll take vengeance on somebody who offends you. Has anybody here ever been offended? You know, I mean, it's terrible going through life and people lie to you, they let you down, they cheat you. You know, your best friend isn't reliable. Your husband cheats. Your wife, she's, he won't submit. Has anybody learned that? Hey, come on, I'm the boss. Sit down. Okay, but I'm still the boss. And so, you learn in life that life stinks. Life stinks. It's not fair. It's not equal. Everybody doesn't get the same opportunity or chance. So what if somebody came along and promised, hey, I'm going to make everything fair for you, everything will be equal? That's a lie. Not going to be that way. It'll never be that way, ever. Jesus said something like this, the poor you have always. You're always going to have the poor. No, we're going to solve that. Oh, no, you're not going to solve that. There'll always be somebody with two shirts and one guy naked. I don't care how you work it, sooner or later, somebody's going to have more smarts than you. Somebody's going to have more wealth than you. Somebody's going to have more personality than you. They got better looks than you. They're going to be, whatever. Those are the things that distinguish us, and we got to all get along. So you need wisdom. Hey, God, is this right? Look at this guy. He's got two shirts. I'm naked. Is that right? Yep. What? So you got to get wisdom from God. How many know God is the author of your life? He gave you your life. See? And so he gave you an opportunity. You have a liberty to do what you want as long as you don't eat of that tree. How many here You did wrong. How many here have eaten of that tree? You just did it your own way. You just said something like the hell with God. I'll do it the way I think because I think I'm right. I think God is, I don't know, he knows a lot, but he doesn't know everything. I think in this case, I know what I'm doing. And even if I'm wrong, I want to do it anyway. How many have eaten of that tree? You know, I mean, it's probably wrong. But I want to find out for myself. I'm a person. God gave me a brain. You know, I've got some resources. I think I know what I'm doing. Anybody here like that? Well, if you eat of that tree right there, the one you're not supposed to eat of, you're free to eat of every other tree, but don't eat of that tree. But well, let's say you did. Let's just imagine one person in here did that. Then you got to eat of that tree. You got to come over here. If you eat of that tree, it says you're under the law of sin and death. So now you got to eat of this tree. And if you eat of this tree where Jesus died for your sin, then the debt's canceled. Then you go free. But you got to eat of this tree. Now this tree is an interesting tree. It's a faith tree. This was a works tree. Don't do this work. Don't do any work. Because God just wanted to give you everything. See, the reason he didn't want you to eat of that tree is because he wanted to give you everything. And he would guarantee that you'd get everything that you wanted and needed and more. That's a guarantee from God. But how many know it doesn't look like that? It doesn't look like that. God says that, but he must be lying. Because look, I feel cheated. Victims can't worship God. Victims can't worship God. So here's the deal. Jesus handed out 10 minas. He had 10 minas and he got 10 servants. So here's a mina for you, here's a mina for you, mina for you, and so on. So he handed out 10 of them. Then he said, this rich nobleman was going somewhere to get a kingdom and then he'd come back. And in the meanwhile, everybody take a mina and see what you can do with it. And when I come back, I'll collect. Whatever you've done with the mina I gave you. How many know God is the author and the giver of every good and perfect gift? He gave you whatever you got, God gave it to you. Let's say you're ugly. God gave you that. You're ugly? God gave you that. So do something with it. You know, like hide it or something. You know, just do something with whatever you were given. Now, you may not see the beauty of ugly. But I'll tell you what, if you're ugly, be ugly for Jesus. You know, don't wish you were fatter or skinnier or had different color hair or your nose or your ears didn't stick out or whatever. You know, just enjoy yourself. How do you know you're supposed to be thankful for everything? You see, but some people want to be equal. I want to be as pretty as her. I want to be as rich as him. I want to be this. I want to be that. You don't know what you're doing. You do not know what you're doing. You don't know what good is. You don't know what bad is. How many know that God loves you equally? But he didn't give you equal. And anybody that promises that is a liar. Ain't going to happen. Never going to happen. Never. Y'all with me? All right, now. So Jesus hands out these 10. He comes back, and he was talking apparently about somebody, but it might have been him. Because after we killed him, he went to heaven, got a kingdom, and then was heading back to see how his servants had done. Everybody thought he was going to become a king. No. He was going to get killed. Then he'd become a king. After he was dead, resurrected, went to heaven, then he got his kingdom and then came back, and he's going to check us out, and that hadn't happened yet, but it's about to happen. He's going to come back real soon. Y'all going to be ready? And you're going to show him what you did with your talent, with your faith, with your beauty, with your wealth, whatever you got. Well, this is a story about unrighteous mammon, just money. And so he handed them each some money, same amount. One guy came back, and the first guy came, and he said, how'd you do? He's given an account to him. He's a trustee. I entrusted you with one mina. What'd you do with it? I made 10. Tenfold. Tenfold? Excellent. Wow, that's good. I gave you one, let's say it was a million. I gave you 1 million. You made 10 million? That's good. Very good. I'll give you 10 cities then. That's your reward. What? Really? No kidding? I was going to hand you everything. I know, but I just wanted to show you something. I gave you that, and I intended to give you all this. So even though you earned it for me, I'll give it all back to you. You got 10 cities. Another guy, he came and he thought, well, I haven't done 10. I didn't do 10. He said, well, how'd you do? Five. Five? That's it? Yeah, five. Excellent. Whoa, the guy said, wow, five is okay too? Yeah, apparently. So the guy said, I got five. He said, okay, give him five cities. I mean, you know, the Lord loves us and he expects us to go out and invest our time, our talent, our treasures, you know, relationships. How many have ruined at least two relationships? Yeah. So that wasn't so good. That was not so good. That was because you ate of the wrong tree. So you got to go over to this tree over here and get forgiveness and get a little help from the Holy Ghost. I mean, know that after you're a believer and you believe that God covers everything, he's forgiven you for everything, then he gives you the Holy Spirit so you can go out and do some more. So that's a pretty good deal. How many know, hey, thank you, Jesus, give me another chance. Okay, one more chance. Okay, one more chance. All right, one more. All right, how many know you need at least 5 or 6 or 7 or 50,000 chances? You know, so God's fair. Anyway, so then there's this next guy he calls forward, and the guy says, here, I wrapped it in a napkin. And he's wondering, whoa, this is a nice looking napkin. A nice napkin. Motts. You know, made in Motts. You know, Motts napkin. Okay. And he said, what's in here? He opens it up. Here's your mina back. He gave him the same mina back. What'd you earn? Nothing. Now listen, this is very, you don't want to be this guy. This guy said, I knew you to be a hard master. I knew you were tough. And I hated to take the risk. What if I screwed up and messed up? Because I've watched other guys go down the drain. I was smart. I buried the thing, knowing how hard you were. You'd ask me to, you know, come up with something, and I just feel I was up to it. So I didn't do it. But here, at least I kept it for you. Here's your mina back. Now, you knew me to be mina. I mean, mean. And you knew that. You knew that. Why didn't you at least take it, put it in the bank, and collect some interest? At least that was hardly a big risk. You should at least put it with the bankers, come back, and give me my own with a little interest. You see, when God entrusts you with something, he believes you're going to do something good with it. That's why I entrust you. He believes that you're alive for a good purpose. He believes that you know something. Now, if you do something you're not supposed to do, it ain't going to work. But let's say you do it the way God says to do it, that'll work. And you'll come with 10 or, you know, fivefold or threefold or something, but you don't just give it back and say, this, I didn't trust you. I thought you'd be mean. I thought you'd be real nasty. You reap where you didn't sow. And, you know, I just had a bad view of God. How many have a bad view of God? God is mean. He makes life tough and rough. And I just think, you know, you're not a good guy. So here's your thing back. Oh, that's not good. I preserved what you gave me, but I didn't multiply it. I mean, you're not supposed to preserve it. You're supposed to multiply it, circulate it, get it out. Get out among people. Don't just stay at home, be a hermit. You know, I'm ugly. I'm poor. I'm, you know, wicked. I'm nasty. And God's tough. Ah, that's a lie. You're a victim. You feel God victimized you because he didn't give you everything you needed. And now you got to make up for that. You got to pack something to make yourself small into big, important. You got to do something to make yourself valuable. How many know you have to earn your way in life in order to get stuff? You got to do something to get it. Well, that's not God. That's not God. You. If God, if you need something, you need wisdom. You need knowledge. You got to go to God. God, what do I do with my life? Why have you given me everything I need? Why have you given me? I'm in the right marriage. How many know that the right marriage is the one you're in? And the one before that, and the one before that is whatever the right marriage is. You had it. It's just you were eaten of the wrong tree. The marriage didn't fall apart because the other person was no good. The marriage fell apart because you ate of the wrong tree. Remember? Remember that? Now, is there, just ask for a show of hands here. Did anybody marry a man that was immature? Quite a few hands right there. Okay, now I'm going to ask you a question. Because a lot of women do this. A lot of women will marry a man. He's the right man, of course. But he just wasn't mature. If you'd have waited a little longer, you know, cooked the cake till it's, you know, baked. You just took him when he was too young. He was too young. You know, men don't mature until about 45 or 50 or 70 or 87. Men are, I don't know, they're not like women. You know, a girl knows she's going to be a nurse at, you know, 8. And she's already mature. I mean, she's already, you know, but guys are slower. Has anybody noticed that about guys? They're just immature for a long time. Does anybody notice that? And it just, it's like the guy you married, God, I thought he deceived me. I thought he was greater, better than that. And a lot of women are disappointed in men. I don't know, you should have married a dog. Maybe got a parakeet. So Jesus comes back, he finds these guys, and he said, take from this guy who just handed it back to me and give it to the one who has 10. And the people said, Lord, but he has 10. He's already got more than enough. Why would you give him more? Because he's a good and faithful servant. He's a good steward. Whoever is faithful in small things, I will give to him greater things. In other words, if you can't be trusted with your own life, with your own marriage, with your own family, with your own talents, with your own treasures, if you can't be faithful in small things, maybe you've got really narrowed down where life isn't hardly worth living, and yet you want to gripe and complain as though you're a victim. Well, yeah, but I don't have anything anymore. Everything I had, I screwed it up and ruined it. Now I got nothing. So what? Be faithful with that. Remember Moses was down to a stick one time? God said to him, hey, Moses, I want to lead the people out of Egypt. Yeah, really? Yeah, I was going to use you to go and tell Pharaoh to let him go. Cool. I can't talk. I'm just not a talker. And I don't have any resource. I mean, you're asking the wrong guy. That's what it's all about. You're asking the wrong guy. I can't do it. I'm not going to do it. Moses, I want you to do it. No. How many know that you're always called by God to a job you can't do? Whenever God calls you to be married or, you know, to be a friend or whatever, you're not able. You are unable to do what he said. How many know that you're going to eat of that tree? Sooner or later, you're going to take matters in your own hand because you're not able to do anything. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Isn't that amazing? God knows that, and yet he says to us, like as though he didn't know any better, hey, I'm going to give you this talent, this treasure, this time, this life, whatever. I'm going to give you these relationships, and see what you can do with them. God, you didn't give me enough. You gave him more. No, in this case, Jesus gave everybody equal. There's another parable where he gives them differently. But in this case, give everybody the same. So he said, no, I gave you all that you need to come to me. Don't eat of this tree on your own. Just come to me and ask me what you've got. Well, Moses, all Moses had was a stick. And God said to him, okay, go do what I told you to do. Set the people free. God, wait a minute. Stop. God, come back. Listen, I like your idea. I think it's great. Cool. I'm just the wrong person for it. I'm not up to it. I cannot do that. I don't have any resources. Get it? And God goes, oh, I overlooked that. You know how God is. He'll just overlook stuff like that. So he said, oh, I overlooked that. I didn't realize you weren't equal. I didn't realize you didn't have enough. What have you got? Nothing. What's in your hand? A stick? Yeah. Toss it down. Throw it down. The stick? That's all I got. Well, give me all you got. Give me all you got. That's all I got. I can't give you all I got because that's all I got. I mean, if I gave you this, I'd have nothing. How many know that God knows what he's talking about when he says, give me all you got? Because you don't know what you're doing. Don't think you got something because you don't know what you got. You got to get everything from here. The one where you don't eat of his tree because you don't know what you're doing. So you got to go. So Moses drops the thing, it turns into a snake. You go, my God, I never did anything like that with that. How do you do that? So God says, well, there's the power of what you had. See, you didn't know what you had right there. That's a snake. And that snake went and ate up all of Pharaoh's snakes. And they made little snakes, he just ate them all up. And Moses said, whoa, that is cool. In God's hands, I guess even the little rod I had, the little stick I had, I guess that was something. I didn't know what it could do. Give your life back to God, you'll see what he can do with your life. Give all the stuff you have, all the relationships, all the money, all the wealth, all the talent, treasure, beauty, whatever. Give that all back to God. God, I'm glad I'm ugly. All right, I just want the ugly people to say this. God, I'm glad I'm ugly. I'll be ugly for Jesus. That's very good. That's very good. See, you don't have any problem with pride. So, you know, people that are good looking, they have a problem with pride. You don't have that. So that's an advantage right there. All right. So God says to him, now, Moses, see that stick? Yeah, it's a snake. He said, okay, pick it up. Which end? Ah, see, you don't know which end. Come and get wisdom. And so God says, I just pick it up anywhere. What? No, if you pick it up in the wrong place, it'll bite you. You pick it up the head, it bites you in the arm. You know, you pick it up at the tail, it's, you know, no, I don't know where to pick that thing up. I mean, no, you don't know how to pick up a snake. You got to go get wisdom. You get married, you're picking up snakes. You don't know what you're doing. You have no clue. You have no clue. You don't know what you're doing because you don't know what a relationship is. How many know relationships are a little trickier than you thought? Yeah, how do you handle this thing? You know, whoa, you know, it's starting to bite me, you know. And you don't know, you know, like Peggy, she's my wife. She's only 5'2". I'm taller than that. But she can whip me. I can say, whoa, 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 Peg, you're biting me. I don't know what I'm doing. How many know that we don't know what we're doing? So he said, just pick it up. When I tell you to pick it up, just pick it up. Okay, well, okay, I'm asking. Which end? That's cool. That's the way to do it with God. You don't know what you're dealing with. You have no clue. So he picked it up. Finally turned right back into a stick. In other words, harmless. When you give it to God, throw it down, leave it alone, give up everything, give it back to God, God will take and the very life you have with as little as you think you have, you got everything you need. You got everything you need. He's never cheated anybody. God doesn't cheat people. He just gave you a big assignment. The bigger the assignment, you don't care about how it gets done. You go to God for that. But the bigger the assignment, that means he's entrusting you with a lot. So don't take a little thing like, okay, I'll settle for this one. I'll settle for this. I'm going to have not a happy life, but at least I'll survive. How many settle? Don't raise your hand, but don't settle. God has given you a big, you know, it's the Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom. He wants to give you the kingdom. I mean, everything. He wants to call you his son, his child, his beloved. He doesn't love Jesus more than he loves you, or he'd be a liar. Isn't that amazing? Now, are you up to that? Are you up to what he wants you to do? Not in your own strength. But then again, you don't want to have your own strength. You don't want to go and try to eat of this tree yourself as though you were God. You're not God. How many know you're not God? You're not God. It may take a lifetime for you to figure that out, but you're not God. It may take a while to figure that out. You might be on your third marriage and you still haven't figured it out. It's not the guy you married. It's you. It's not the girl you married. It's you. You're the problem because you're trying to do something that's way too big for you. But it's not too big for God. With man, it's impossible. With God, it's possible. All you got to do is turn yourself over. Victims don't worship God. Only guilty culprits. Did you eat of that tree what I told you not to eat? Uh-uh. Right there. That's called liar. I mean, no, let God be true, but every man a liar. You didn't eat of that tree, did you? Huh? You know, I love that. I love that. You can see that with little kids real easy. Little kids, you know, you put the, whatever it is, a big, let's say a cookie. You put the cookie right on the table. Oh, I'll give you a better one. Well, I remember Cara, our oldest daughter, who's 39, 40, whatever she is. I remember when she was little, she was our firstborn. So we would have a birthday cake for her. Now, Cara, this birthday cake is for the party tonight. Don't eat it. Do not touch this cake. Well, when the birthday came around, it's still in its little thing, you know, the little thing that has a little cap thing over it. Whatever, women know what that is. I don't know what that is. So anyway, you would get to the cake to cut it, and half of the frosting is off the back of it. And so I realized, oh my gosh, the party's here. We're about to cut the cake, but half of the frosting's gone. Cara, come here. We got a problem here. Look at this cake. She looks at it. You didn't do this, did you? Nope. I mean, because we told you not to eat this cake. I didn't, Daddy. Okay. Mama must have done it. So I asked Mom, Mom, did you eat this cake? Did you eat all the frosting off this cake? No. Okay. Well, I must have done it. I guess I wasn't thinking. I must have done it. Somebody did it. So then she finally, I says, you know, Cara, look, there's three of us here, Mommy and Daddy. We're not lying. There's only one person left, you. Did you eat this cake by any chance? I didn't eat it, Daddy. You told me not to. I know. But all I did was I took a little bit. And then I just licked it like that. That's all I did. How many times did you do that? Well, but I didn't eat it. Ah, I get it. You didn't eat it. You just kept nibbling at it, little by little. And so she used to do it, not just once or twice. She did that a lot. And she felt she wasn't really sinning because she wasn't eating the whole thing. She was just nibbling on it, just taking little bits. Have you ever done that? You aren't really sinning. You're just smoking one. You're just drinking one. And pretty soon you find another and another. You know, it isn't long before you don't know when to stop. How many know you don't have any wisdom? You don't know what you're doing. So God. Anyway, so Jesus says to this guy, take everything he has, because he didn't do what I told him to do. And because he thought he was a victim, he didn't want to eat of this tree over here. This is a tree, not for victims, but for guilty people. But he didn't want to be guilty. He wanted to justify himself. So he said, well, I don't think I did anything wrong. Here's your thing back. No. I wanted you to come back, and I wanted interest off of what I did. I invested in you. I expect return. You owe me worship. Well, you didn't give me enough. I felt cheated, and I knew you were hard. I knew you were going to ask me what I did. Here's your thing back, and you can keep the napkin. Well, appreciate that. Appreciate the napkin. Nice napkin. How many know God is not hard? This guy misunderstood. You're not a victim. You're a culprit. Victims are never going to thank God for what he did on Calvary. Only culprits. Now, here's the deal. Jesus is coming back very soon with his kingdom. Remember, he's coming back. He's going to come back. And he'll be the king. When he comes back, he was Savior first time, because we went to Jerusalem, they killed him. Instead of being king, they killed the guy, said, you know, they called him king. We killed our own king. They wrote, King of the Jews, killed him. That's a good king. That's a good king. That's a good king. So when Jesus comes back, he's going to say to us, okay, what'd you do with what I gave you? Now, if you're a victim, you didn't do anything. You didn't do anything. All you did was kept your life. You have your life in a napkin. You hid it. You didn't do anything. You never took a risk. All you can do is say, well, I'm alive. No, he expected you to amount to something. For example, where's your joy? I'm going to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Woo! I mean, you are full of joy. You know why? Because I was a guilty sinner and Jesus washed away my sin. Woo! Gloria, that's enough right there. Not only that, if you're born again, you get the Holy Ghost. You get him. You can swallow him, feathers and all. You can have him. So you can get the power of Almighty God. Not only do I believe in Jesus, but all kinds of works come forth. Things I didn't even know I could do. My stick turns into a snake and eats up the bad guys. I love it. Do you know that you can do things that you can't do? once you believe that Jesus Christ has covered all your sin. So let's say you were a bride. It says that Jesus is coming back for a bride without spot and without wrinkle. Now here's what a spot is. A spot is a sin. So he's coming back for a sinless bride. No spots. But how many know that you have made some spots? So how's he going to come back? Easy. Easy. Because spots, all they need is spot remover. Over here. How does Jesus remove your spots? Because here's your dress. It's all white, but it's all spotted. And he puts the blood on your spot. And it's covered. And when the Father sees that blood, he doesn't see the sin. He just sees that you had faith in Jesus and he counts that as righteous. He says, I'm counting that. I'm counting that. Yeah, but look at all her spots. Yeah, but it's got blood over it, so I'm counting it. The blood washes away the stain of sin. It's gone. And the eyes of God, I don't care what people know. Yeah, but I saw her put those spots on there. It doesn't make any difference. When God looks at that dress, he sees the blood of Jesus that you had faith in because you ate of that tree after eating of that tree. There's where the spot came from, and there's where the spot remover was. So without spot, it means you have faith. You have faith that the blood of Jesus covers all your sin. You can think of all your sin. Oh, man, I sinned here and there and so on and so forth. But the blood of Jesus covers all that. And his goodness was all my goodness. Everything that he did made me righteous. So when the Father sees me, not handing him back with a napkin, but he sees me coming to the cross and saying, God, I'm putting all my faith in Jesus. He said, I count that as righteous. I don't see any spots. And that's the Father, that's the judge. I impute to you, I count to you. Even though I know you have spots, I'm not looking at them. What I'm looking at is you went and ate of that tree, didn't you? Because you knew you had goofed up. And so you went over there and you got your sins forgiven. Now watch this. Because of that, you can go and ask him now that you don't have any sin. You can go and ask God, hey God, I'll tell you what, I don't have any sin anymore because Jesus has forgiven me. I mean, I had the sins, but they're covered. And now I have faith in Jesus, and he's good. Could you give me some help? What for? I'll get more spots. Yeah, what do you want? Well, could I have the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead? You know, the one he used when he walked on water and did all those miracles, turned his marriage around, you know. Could you give me that? You know, all the investments I made that went sour, could you redeem all that? Could you give me your Holy Spirit? Because I lack holiness. Hey, that's something God gives, but he doesn't give it from this tree. He gives it from that tree. So he says, if you believe in me, you can have the Holy Spirit, all of it. You can have everything. You'll have all the power in the world. No one can stop you. Throw your stick down, give it to me. I'll give you back a powerful stick. Wow, there's nothing you can't accomplish now. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Apart from him, I can do nothing. But in him, I can do all things. There's nothing I can't do. I can turn anything in my life into glory. Not in the world to come, in this world. He's coming back for a bride without spot. I told you what the spots were. And without wrinkle. Or any such thing. What's a wrinkle? A wrinkle is something that, let's say, it hides darkness. So I put this wrinkle on. Underneath there is darkness. Now, if I open it up, the light wins. But if I close it up, it's dark in there. Okay? So a wrinkle is any part of your clothing that has some darkness in it. What's going to remove that? An iron. You know, if you open it up and iron it out, it'll be gone. Everything will be shiny. Everything will be, you know, clear again. The light will reflect off of it. You'll be beautiful. That's the love. Faith, spot. Active in love, wrinkle. Now, no spot, no wrinkle. Because everything I've done that's wrong, he's covered, and I put my faith in him. The goodness he did is my goodness. He gives it to me as a free gift. There's where I'm going to go and eat of this tree. This is the tree of life. This tree of death is actually a tree of life. He died so that I could live. He died so I could live. All I have to do is believe that when he died, I died. And all my old man is gone, and my new man has come. And to prove it, I've got the Holy Ghost. And that Holy Spirit is able to transform my life in this world, and when he comes back, he'll get tenfold, fivefold. But I won't just hand him his napkin back. Now I've accomplished something and I didn't even know I did it. I wasn't even aware because the Holy Spirit was doing it while I was sleeping. Have you ever noticed that about God? When you're sleeping, He don't sleep. He's staying awake all night long. I suppose He's in China. I don't know where He is, but wherever He is, He's not sleeping. So He's active, preparing everything for the next day so that I might walk in victory. Everything in my life. I'm glad I'm ugly. I'm glad I'm poor. I'm glad I'm weak. I'm glad I don't have anything. At least I don't know what I have. Maybe everything I have is good. Maybe everything I have is equal to what everybody else has. Maybe I shouldn't be jealous of somebody else. Maybe I don't need to envy what somebody else has. Maybe everything I have has been chosen by God to do wonders through me. You see, your family is the perfect family. How many have the perfect dysfunctional family? It's designed for you to bring out all your ugliness, to bring out all your, you know, complaining and gripes. Those are spots. Then you have to go over here. God, I'm spotted again. Yeah, I was noticing that. Okay, now God, because you've forgiven me and because I'm clean now and I'm righteous, prove it by giving me the Holy Spirit. Give me your own Holy Spirit. If I'm righteous by faith and not by works, then give me the Holy Spirit to prove it. And He gives me the Holy Spirit. Now my faith is active in love. How many know that Christians aren't supposed to just sit there and hold on to their napkin and bury it in the ground? You're supposed to be out witnessing, sharing, renewing your family, praying for people, blessing people, being a servant. How many know that's exciting? Well, it may not be, but it is. Maybe you don't understand that. Look, why do you need anything when God has already promised you everything? Why do you need anything? You see, Jesus, this king that went away, handed him all that Mina thing, and then came back and wasn't Mina. He was nice. And he came back and his only desire was to give you everything. So you don't have to prove anything to God because He already knows you. He knows everything about you. He knows how weak you are. All He ever wanted you to do was go ahead and sin. Now you taste it and you realize, you know what? You're still not wise. You tried to eat of my tree? You can't eat of my tree. I mean, no, you can't be God. The only thing you can do is be like God, but you can't be God. And the other way you can be like God is to go and let Him give you the fruit, and the fruit's hanging on that tree. You see, the only fruit hanging on that tree is the guy that wore that crown. The guy that wore that crown happens to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that's why He's the one that can give you the Holy Ghost. But the only way He can give you that is if you go and eat of Him. Jesus said, "Eat my flesh and drink my blood." There it is. And you'll never die. You'll live forever and ever. Wow. That's better than the stuff I was going to try to get off of God's tree. You see, I was going to try to get myself a perfect marriage. It doesn't work. I was going to try to get myself rich. It doesn't work. I was going to try to get myself smarter than everybody else. It doesn't work. How many have figured that out? You're stupid. You're ignorant. And you don't know anything. Which is the same thing, of course. And not only that, you're impotent. You don't have any power to do zip, nothing. You're not able to do anything. Apart from Him. In other words, for the kingdom of God. Everything you do is wasted. It's a worthless thing. Sometimes I think about my life and I think, you know, you're going to die one of these days. And what did you accomplish? Nothing. I didn't accomplish anything. I mean, as far as I know, I didn't accomplish it. If I did, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. It happened when I was sleeping. Because I don't know about it. And nobody's made known to me about it. So I feel a failure. I feel like, you know, I just wasted my life. I should have done something else, but I wasn't smart enough to figure out what else I should have done. And I regret, oh, why did I go that way? I should have gone this way. See, I made another goof up. So I have to go to God all the time. God, I've screwed my life up. I've messed my life up. I'm all spotted. Could you give me some of your blood and forgive me? Yes. Wow. That's what it said in the book, but could you really do it? Yes. Well, could you do it now? I've done it. You did? Wow. Wow. See how simple that was. I didn't have to even pay for that. Did you see that? It was so simple. I can't believe it. What would you do that for? I'm a loser. That's what I did it for. Losers. Oh, cool. Well, I guess I'm qualified. I guess I was pre-qualified for that one. So, you know, He's right on that. So that's one thing I got down. That's one thing no one can take from me. that I said I was a loser. I did everything he said not to do. Then I went and I did the one thing he said he did for me. And I believed in that. And he set me free. And then to prove it, he gave me the Holy Ghost. He put his own Holy Spirit in me and said, now, Jim, you're going to do mighty things. And I'm looking around like what? Like where? I mean, like, are you sure? Okay. You know, as I believed you there, I'll believe you on the other one, but I ain't seen it. I haven't seen the kingdom come. How many haven't seen it? And you have no idea until that last trump sounds. Because until the day you die, you're not going to see your perfection. All you can see is the spots. All you can see is the wrinkles. You're not seeing the perfection. Sometimes when you're not looking, God accomplishes something. It's amazing. Someone come up to me and say, you really blessed me last week. I did? Yeah, you know that message you gave. What? What did I say? I don't remember. Well, you know, that was a good message. I can't forget it. Well, I've forgotten it already. What did I say? And so here I helped somebody that wasn't trying to help. Then another person I'm working on 3-4 hours that week trying to help them, and they hate me. So here I'm helping people I don't know I'm helping, and I'm hurting people I'm trying to help. Does anybody have a record like mine? I mean, it's amazing. So I don't know. I don't even know if I got anything in the pot. I don't know what's up there. I won't know until he comes back. And he says, if you were faithful in small things, then I'll, you know, I don't know if I've been or not. I think I haven't been. I'm more aware of my wickedness than I am of my virtue. Is anyone else like me? I mean, I'm familiar with the path that goes to this tree right here. I'm familiar with that. Don't eat of the tree. God, look over there, there's an angel. He didn't see me, did he? But he has eyes in the back of his head. He's got eyes everywhere. It's like those cameras they got all over the highways now. You just drive through and you can't cheat anymore. I hate it. I feel limited. I hate laws like that that restrict you. Amen? I like everything to go smooth. It doesn't go the way I want it to go. But you know what? I'm not a victim. I'm a culprit. So thank God for this one thing right here, this one tree over here. This is the tree of life. It must move because it used to be in the garden. It must come out here. How many know that Jesus was walking around in the Old Testament when Abraham saw him, when Moses saw him, you know, constantly with all the prophets? Jesus was there. He was the rock that followed them. He was that cloud. He was that, you know, everything that ever happened, it was all Jesus. Did you know that? And everything in your life that's been good, that was Jesus. Everything in your life that was bad, that was you. You did all the bad, he did all the good. Now, how many know his goodness is bigger, greater than your badness? He that's in me is greater than he that's in the world. Isn't that amazing? Now, that one guy with the napkin, he felt he was a victim. Like, well, I knew you to be a hard man. In other words, he has a rotten view of God as though he weren't given enough. As though, you know, he just had that, you know, one opportunity and he blew it. And then he just, so he decided, you know what, I'm not even gonna blow it. I'll just stick it in the napkin and hide it. And then when the guy comes back, I'll say, well, here's what you gave me. I'll give you back what you gave me. No, Jesus wants you to lay your life down. Go ahead and trust him. Because I tell you, if you take a risk like that, if you get married, if you make an investment, if you try to do something with your life, you're going to get burned over and over again. Has anybody experienced that? I mean, I've made so many investments that have gone south. They've just gone rotten. It's like, Peg, this is a sure deal, this one. I'm telling you, this one's a good one. Did you ask Jesus? Yeah. Well, you said that kind of fast. I mean, if you really sought him deeply. And then when it fails later, she says, I thought you asked Jesus. I did. Well, you must not have. Jesus doesn't do losers like that. Well, maybe I misunderstood him. That's what I asked you before. Okay, well, it's obvious now. Okay. But here's another deal, Peg. Don't even get excited about that. I got another deal already. Is anyone else a loser like I am? Oh, man. I just fall for it every time. I fall for it every time. I think this will be the time. This time it's going to work. Does anybody else have that kind of naive, stupid idea? And then when you lose, you just feel like a victim. Oh, God. God, you should have come through for me. I prayed and asked you to come through. Jim, I never told you to do it. I know, but I prayed and asked that you'd come through. Make it work anyway. Make it go in the basket. Just make it go in. I'm gonna know it. Okay, all right, I didn't study. Okay, I don't know what I'm talking about. Okay. I mean, I just want you to go here as a loser. Take Jesus, just give you a free gift. You didn't earn it. You didn't do right. But it's okay. Don't think he's stingy. Don't blaspheme the Holy Spirit. He'll forgive you anything. If you tried and you lost it all, he'll still forgive you. How many know that if he forgives you, then he'll also give you his own Holy Spirit that will lead you in the very situation you're in to turn it around. The very situation you're in, he can turn it around. All you have to do, this is all you have to do. There's not much to this. All you have to do is die. That's it. That's all. That's all you have to do is just die. How many are excited now that I told you that little secret? All you got to do is not, he's not talking about physical death. He's talking about you stop running your life. Throw it down. Just toss it down. Just give it away. Just stop it. Give it back to Jesus. Jesus, what do I do? He said, I'll give you the Holy Spirit. Okay. What's he going to do? Kill you. Oh, okay. Keep him. Oh, I was wanting a little help. Jim, you don't have a flat tire. You need a new car. Get out of that thing right now. No, just put some air in the tire. This thing's fine. No, you need a radical change. How many know you need a radical transformation? That's what Jesus calls death, where you got to let him run your life, every decision, every second of every day of every month of every year. You got to let Jesus make all your decisions. Okay, here's one of his decisions. Here's one of his decisions. I want you to praise me all the time. Woohoo! That's not hard. Let's do it. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Woo! See, that wasn't hard. The problem is, you got to keep it up. All the time. Yeah, well, when can I gripe? When can I complain? When can I murmur? When do I get to get even? You see, you're not a victim. You're a culprit. And Jesus has forgiven you. That's enough to Yahoo all the way from here to eternity. He loves you. You can't fail with Jesus. You can only fail if you're on your own. You can only fail if you think you're smart. You can only fail if you think you're great. You can't fail. If he gives you something, a talent, time, treasure, relationship, whatever it is, make the most of it. Make the most of it. Amen? Amen? Now don't look at her. Look over here at me. Here I am over here. Boo. I'm over here. So God knows exactly what he's doing. God knows exactly what he's doing. And when he comes back, here's what he's going to say to you. Well done. Good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. What did you do? Oh, I got all these spots. Then I ran over here and got the spot remover. And I got the big iron that ironed it out and put a lot of pressure on me, a lot of heat. And that's what I like because that kills me off. How many know that irons and heat will kill you off? First of all, my faith kills me because I had to believe that Jesus was good for me and I was no good. And then second of all, I had to believe that only the Holy Ghost did all the good things that I did and I did all the bad things. Now, I had to admit that my faith was active in love. And anything I did that was any good, that was because I threw it down. That's because I gave it up. That's because I stopped making my own decisions. How many know that that's going to happen? He's going to come back and say, what you did was powerful. What did I do? Well, you visited me and you did this and did that. I didn't do that. Yeah, but when you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Well, I don't even remember when I did that. Well, you did. Well, I must have been sleeping. You were. You weren't paying attention at all. How many know that God gets all the glory? And it's his pleasure to give me the kingdom. I don't have to earn it. He just wants to give it to me. All those guys earned all that money, you know, tenfold, fivefold, and all that. But you know the truth is, God's the one that made that work. And you know what happened? They just went out and took a risk. They just went out and I'll bet they made 50,000 mistakes before they made anything. The guy was probably delayed in coming back. How many know that Jesus is not coming back because the bride isn't ready? But he's waiting for you as a bride to go and get the spots out by faith and get out the wrinkles by what? By love. And you don't have either yet because you're still alive. If you're alive, you can't love. If you're alive, you can't love because you'll have to take care of yourself because you're alive. But when you're dead, because you know only God is alive. He's the I am. He's the one that's alive. When you're dead, you know he'll supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. You don't take care of yourself. That's dead. That's what Jesus means by dead. It means I have faith that God will take care of me. I have faith that I already have everything. I have faith that everything I have is all I need. I don't need anything more than what I have. And I don't even know what I have, but I don't need to know because he knows, and therefore I got everything. Let's have a testimony, I'll quit. Who has a testimony? Anybody? Pastor Dan, that was powerful as a message. I just don't want to do it. Did I tell you about the part where you have to go through the fire? You see, the fire, I may not have told that. This is a fire you don't believe in, you go through it. You got to go through fire or there'll be no love. You can have the faith without the fire, but the minute you got the faith, he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I forgot to mention that, I'm sorry. Forgot to mention the fire part. The fire is that you actually experience pain and suffering and sorrow. Woo-hoo! Because that's going to kill your flesh and deliver your spirit. That's going to kill. That fire is what you need. Don't be a griping, complaining, moaning victim. Be a guilty culprit that says, God, turn the fire up because I needed it. Otherwise, I'll never love anybody. I'll always just love myself. All I care about is me, eating my stuff, drinking my stuff. You know, I'm controlling everything, blah, 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 blah. No, no, you need some fire. Because when you get the fire, you're dead to this world and alive to God. Anybody gone through the fire lately? With Yahoo! Because that's all you got to learn when you go through fire. There's two ways to go through fire. One is, ow, ow, ow! That was your flesh. Here's another way to go through the fire. Hallelujah, praise the Lord, hallelujah, praise the Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That's the way to go. So you can say, I don't want to go through that fire. You're a mean, nasty God. Here's your napkin back. No. God wants you to go through the fire and say, fire, best thing that ever happened to me. It separated my flesh from my spirit. Now I don't have a flesh man. I'm dead to this world. I'm alive to God in Christ Jesus. Don't say, well, I'm going to learn that just by the word. No, you're not. You got to learn that by experience. You're going to learn that by experience. You have to submit to leadership. When you submit to leadership, that's the fire. I'll tell you, when you go through, because here's what the leader's going to say. Mark, this is what you got to say when someone's saying, oh, Pastor, it's so awful. Praise the Lord. See, that's a leader. That's a leader. Hallelujah. No, I said it's hell. It's hell. It's hell. Hallelujah. 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 See, it's not hell. It's just what you need because you're a hard case. You're a hard case. You're tough. You're tough. How many know you're you're stubborn? You're stiff-necked. And the Lord's saying, I want you to praise me. You don't want to bow down. I want you to praise me with extravagant praise. Hallelujah. No, 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 extravagant. Hallelujah. I mean extravagant. Just let it all out. Hallelujah. You see, only flesh can talk like that. That shows you don't know how guilty you are. Because you want to keep your flesh alive. You want to stay in charge. You want to keep eating of the tree you cannot eat of. So God is just saying, no, go through the fire and this time learn to praise me. Because everything that's happening to you is for your good. It's just because you were a wicked sinner and you had to be burned. No, no, he's the bad one, God. No, you are. I'm not. I swear. I know I'm going to get all that swearing out of you. Now, you get that out of you. Turn up the heat. God, God, turn the heat off. No, I'm turning it up. Did you say up? You see, your father who loves you chastens you. He spanks you. He beats you. He instructs you. He takes a rod to you. Then he'll lead you by his staff. He can't lead you by the staff until you're going to go through under the rod. Yeah, but Pastor Mark, isn't that pure? He doesn't have to be. He doesn't have to be. How many know that he doesn't have to be? He doesn't have to be. Well, he's not even dedicated fully, 100%. I think he's not. He says he isn't, too. It doesn't matter. You know, that. See, God didn't say submit to me. He said submit to my government through my human tool. And he'll use a mean tool like Mark to get you purified. Have you seen that? Can you all see that? Is that true or what? Am I right? It's perfect. You see, stop complaining, moaning, and griping, and just listen to the truth that comes out of his mouth. Don't worry about all the other stuff. God can use any old rusty tool. And all he's got to do is send it right through the fire. You know, he'll clean that thing up in no time. Before it gets to you, he'll have that cleaned up. In other words, I'll tell you something. Mark, before you can preach to this people, you yourself have to be the one it's talking about. You have to experience the fire. You have to experience the hell. You have to experience the holiness of God that shows you all your spots. You have to experience the righteousness and mercy of God that shows you the blood of Jesus. You have to experience the joy of that. And then you have to experience the power of the Holy Ghost that says, even though I've sinned, yet God can still use me. Because you're not going to get rid of sin in this world. You're going to always see it. So ignore the sin that you see and expect that God is greater. Expect that God will use a rusty tool, but he'll clean it up. And by the time the trump blows, you'll see you were wrong about everything. You're wrong about everything. The very tools that God was going to use to, because you looked on the surface of it and said, oh, well, that doesn't look right. As though you were a victim. What do you mean it doesn't look right? What's wrong with it? Well, it's mean. How many know he can be mean? So what? Can't God use a mean tool? He used Nebuchadnezzar. He used Cyrus. He used Alexander. He used Caesar. God can use anything to get the job done. He'll use a bad husband. How many know that there are such things as bad husbands? I mean, no, we're familiar. Even in the church, we have a few. We have some in our church. Do you have any in yours? Yeah. See? I mean, I don't see how the women put up with it. I don't see how they put up with it. The poor victims. No! Women have sin too! Has anybody noticed that? Women have sin just like men. Everybody gets to go through equally. There's the equal right there. You get to go equally through the fire. Yahoo, 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 yahoo. Until you get through, you're not through. So the best is yet to come. God has saved the fire to the last. How many know that whoever is president, it's going to be a blessing and a curse? Whoever it is, it doesn't matter who it is. We're not tied in with this world system. I don't care who wins. They're both liars. But God is greater than any liar. Even if the person intends to do something, if you will not see yourself as a victim of somebody else's sin, but as a culprit that needs to go to the cross and say, Jesus, forget everybody else. I need to be forgiven. And I need the power of the Holy Ghost so I don't keep eating of this tree. I need your power. He'll give it to you in richness. And he'll turn any wicked leader into a true leader that he will work through. You're just going to get the president you deserve. The question is, which evil person do you deserve? Because you're not going to get a perfect person. There isn't. One is, you know, lying through his teeth, and the other one is lying through his teeth. You know, so it won't make any difference. Neither of them like you. They're not going to build something for you. The one's going to give you liberty to do more sin, and the other one's going to stop you so you can't sin and just tie you down. Not going to help. Because you know what? You're going to be free to sin no matter what. You know why? God guarantees freedom. You're going to have the freedom. You can go here, but you can also go there. You can go here. He told you not to, and he said you may eat of this tree. You may. You don't have to. You don't have to eat at that tree. You see? He told you, you shall not eat of this tree, but you may eat of that tree. Now, if you do eat of this tree, then go over there. A lot of people feel they haven't eaten of that tree. Well, you have. You know, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned, and so there's where we're equal. I tell you, we're all equal in sin. You're equal in sin. And the only thing that's going to make you expand is to go over here, get the blood to cover all the spots so that God sees no sin in you. And then the proof of that is the Holy Spirit will come. Ask Him for the Holy Spirit. Give me the Holy Spirit. He'll help you. And He'll turn this life into heaven on earth before He returns, because He's coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Not just coming back for believers. He wants those that have faith and love. He's coming back for those that have faith and love. This is going to be something to show that you got something to return, and not just a napkin, not just a napkin that you preserved everything. Here, I know you're hard. That's a victim. I'm a culprit. It says, God, I have no idea how I made all that. It's a miracle. Because I'm a screw-up. I've messed up so many times. I don't know if you want to take a close accounting or not. I already have. Okay, well, I thought I'd inform you of that. No, He knows everything. He already knows what you've thought, what you've said, and what you've done, what you didn't think, and you didn't say, and you didn't done. He knows that. And He likes you. That is amazing. He likes you. He just provided a free gift over here. Take it. Take it. Don't be proud. Take it. Who's ready to give up their life? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Okay, that's good. Who wants to keep your life? If you keep your life, you lose it. If you give up your life, if you lose it, you find it. The minute, you got to trust Him on this. He's just saying, trust me on this. If you lose your life, okay, God, from now on, I'm just going to trust You to take care of me. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm believing You. Then He will. It's all He's ever wanted. So you end up a failure. So what? You're a success in your heart. You're a success in your life. And you don't know what God is accomplishing when you're sleeping. You don't know what He's doing when you're not looking. Here's the thing. When you go through the fire, no one can do this. When you go through the fire, praise God. That's pure worship. That's pure worship. When you go through the fire, when you go through the trouble, when you go through the difficulty, when you go through failure, thank God. I thank God for all the failure I've had because I was a wicked sinner and I needed to know it. I thank God for all the problems I've had because Jesus has forgiven all my sins. I thank God for the power of the Holy Ghost. I didn't do it. He did it. And I give praise to God for that. That is the good news. I hope somebody here was blessed. Powerful. All right. God is great. God is good. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the barbecue that's coming. But don't barbecue us. But You can do it afterward. We thank You, Lord God, that the best has been saved to the last. We're not afraid. We're not scared. We're not nervous. We're not victims. You knew we were going to eat of that tree. You knew it. That's why You put it in the middle. So we'd have to pass by it every day until we took it. You knew we were going to do it. You knew it. You knew it. But You said there's another tree for You. And in the fullness of time, You brought that other tree out. It was in the garden. But You said, don't let them touch it now. I want them to taste this and realize what it's like not to have Me. And then at the fullness of time, I'll bring forth the other tree so they can find out what I'm like. That I didn't care that they ate of the tree because I knew they wouldn't be like Me anyway. I knew I'd have to give it to them. And I always intended to. And a lot of people said, I don't want it. I don't need it. I don't need God. I am not that bad. But that's wrong. We are that bad. And I thank You, Lord, we're all equally bad. But You are unequally holy, different, kind, gracious, merciful. And there's no other God like that. You are a God who forgives sin. And there's no other God like that. You are a God that no man could have ever thought of. One who, even though we did everything wrong, it didn't change You from doing everything right. And so I thank You, Lord, that You have forgiven us. And now You're not only covering our spots with Your blood, but You're also ironing out all our wrinkles with Your love until we become in every way like unto You, but never becoming You. You are the one we worship. And that's pure worship. Send us through the fire. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said, and now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you his peace. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. May the Lord bless you with every blessing in heavenly places as he already has. Open our eyes, Lord God, that we might see that and receive the peace which passes understanding. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen and amen. Love you all.